It's good to be with you, and I've been here several times, but never to speak to you. So it's good to be with you and tear up your pulpit at the same time. I feel very comfortable with you. Our church in Syracuse was a multi-ethnic church, and about 20% of our church were Asian. So I was used to speaking with a translation booth in the back, as we had folks from mainland and Hong Kong and Taiwan. My daughter and son-in-law met overseas while studying a semester abroad in China. I don't know if Dr. Wong was still at seminary when you were there, Pastor, but he was my Joseph Wong was my New Testament professor. And so I've enjoyed doing this. If you want to ask questions, sermon-related questions, don't ask why is there air, but if you want to ask a question that's related to what I'm talking about, I'll see if I can answer them at the end, and if not, that's okay too. I want to talk to you about tidings of comfort and joy, because we desperately need that. I don't know if you saw last Friday, the Center for Disease Control released their new statistics, and for the first time, life expectancy of Americans has dropped. There were 2.8 million deaths last year. 70,000 of them were opioid and suicide-related deaths. And so for the first time since the government has been keeping track of this for over a century, the life expectancy of people in the United States has dropped. And a large amount of that is because of hopelessness. Dr. William Dietz at George Washington University says that that there's just an increased sense of hopelessness that leads to drug use and potentially to suicide. It's well known that Christmas time is a time where people do not feel tidings of comfort and joy. And so people look to all other kinds of things to bring comfort and joy. Some look to Santa and gifts. That's not working out too well. Some look to food and say, oh, if I can just have enough of the right kind of food, that's not working too well. There's an old Christmas song from the 19th century, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, that talks about having tidings of comfort and joy. And what does it say? The key, it says, God rest you merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. We're going to talk about some things in a moment that dismay people. It says, remember something about Christ. Where are you feeling dismayed right now? Where are you feeling adversity? Where have you maybe forgotten the Christmas message? That whole thing of tidings of comfort and joy, every now and then there are a few years where people go, what does it mean, merry gentlemen? And some say, oh, that merry means mighty. Robin Hood and his merry men, well, they weren't happy, they were mighty. Well, that's true, and sometimes the word was used that way, and so there's big debates. Was the Christmas song talking about how God can make you mighty or God can make you merry? Well, it doesn't matter. The whole point is the second line, let nothing you dismay. What is it in your life that's dismaying you right now? Something about the country, something about some group that you're part of, something about your body or your family or yourself. That there are tidings of comfort and joy. Now, the word tidings is an old English word from the word betide, which meant to happen, especially by fate. And it's only found in one translation in the Christmas story. It's found in the King James translation, which I never thought I would be using on a slide, but I'm going to use it because I want to get the word tiding in. And it's the passage which we just read from Luke 2, that there were shepherds living out in the fields watching over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, the number one command in the Bible. You know what the number one command in the Bible is? More times than anyone else. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. There is born to you this day a Savior, Christ the Lord. And that's where the old Christmas song gets tidings of comfort and joy. But most people are not feeling tidings of comfort and joy. It's a well-known time. Christmas is a greater time of depression and discouragement. So I just want to remind us of what that first Christmas was like. And here's the point that I want you to hear today. And that is, the point is that Christmas began with adversity and ends with hope. And so if you are experiencing adversity right now, thank you, Bill, this is a great time. Christmas is not a time where everything has to go the way that you expected to and wanted to. Christmas is about just the opposite, that God is so big that in the midst of adversity, you can have great hope. For example, It was a time of political adversity. Maybe I don't know whether you're a Republican or Democrat or independent, but it's a time where many people are missing out on tidings of comfort and joy because things aren't going the way they should. Well, may I remind you, in the first century, it was a time of great political adversity. The Jews had been conquered by another nation. Every time they walked up and down the street, here were soldiers of this occupying country taking over their streets. Their laws were no longer in control. Anything they did, they had to ask permission. Joseph loses his job, loses his business, loses his where he had planned on living with Mary, and has to travel to another town because there's a government-imposed census. It was a time of incredible political adversity. Is that the adversity that you're facing right now that's making you feel dismay? Or it was a time of people adversity. Maybe that's yours, where they felt that people they had trusted had let them down. Are you feeling that? Joseph looked at Mary, and they were married. I was 3 weeks ago, I was in the Middle East visiting some of my kids. And they were talking about how in the culture there, people would become betrothed. And they were married. They were legally married. It just gave the man time to get his affairs in order before he would move the wife with him. Joseph and Mary were married. They weren't engaged. They weren't married like we could, but they were betrothed. And suddenly, she comes to him with this cockamamie story saying, well, I haven't had sex with someone else. I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. How would you feel if you heard that? I know how I'd feel. I'd feel like there's nothing in Scripture about this. No one has ever had this happen before. It's bad enough that she's let me down, but she's now going to lie to me about it. Everyone in the Christmas story begins with adversity. Sometimes it's political adversity. Sometimes it's people adversity. People that they trusted that weren't there. Elizabeth felt that way about Zechariah. He'd been her rock all her life, and suddenly he can't talk. Can't talk for 8-9 months while she's pregnant with John. Where in your life are you feeling people adversity? The people that you trusted have let you down. Or maybe the adversity you're facing is physical. Yes, Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, but she still had morning sickness. She still had the aspect of people talking about her behind her back. Yes, Elizabeth was an older woman and she became pregnant with John. But she's past the age. Now imagine that you're not your age, but imagine that you're so old that your body can no longer produce a child and suddenly you've got the weight of a baby inside you. All the nausea, all the pain, all the pain on your back. They had physical adversity. They traveled hundreds of miles to another city and then to another country because the Christmas story ends up with Joseph and Mary having to live in Egypt. It was a time of incredible physical adversity. It was a time of plans adversity. Their plans got changed. Joseph had it all planned out. He was going to live in this town. He built this house. He built this business. This is where he and Mary were going to settle down and raise their family. And suddenly he loses his job. He loses his reputation. He loses the house. He loses the community. He has to move to another town for this government census, and then he has to go to another country. The Magi, their plans were never to travel hundreds of miles from modern-day Iraq to Jerusalem, to the Jerusalem area. And yet their plans were disrupted. And so for months, they had to take all their finances and their camels, and they probably didn't have three. They probably had much more than that. I was at a camel auction 3 weeks ago, and they had more than three camels. Where is it in your life right now where you're facing adversity and you need tidings of comfort and joy and you need to hear God saying, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. I've been blessed, now that I'm becoming the old man, to have meditated on the Christmas story for several decades. And I encourage you, if you haven't done it, to maybe beginning today for the next 2 weeks, just to read the Christmas story every day. But don't read it as a Christmas story. Read it as like it's real Scripture. And just pull back to see what are some of the bigger lessons. How did those people facing political adversity, people adversity, physical adversity, plans adversity, in a time of confusion, how did they move from dismay to having hope? Maybe one of these is for you, and maybe you want to write down, which one is God speaking to me now? Yes, Christmas began in adversity, but one of the points of the Christmas story that moved them from despair, adversity, to hope was they focused on what they gained, not on what they gave up. Is that maybe the point for you today? You need to focus on what you gain, not what you give up. Are you right now filled with dismay because you're focusing on what things didn't go the way that you wanted to, what you had to give up? whenever Joseph focused on, I'm giving up marrying this virgin, I'm giving up being the father of her first child, I'm giving up living in this house, having this business, he's filled dismay. But when he gives that up and he says, I'm about to see something supernatural that no one else will ever see in history. I'm going to be the only man who raises the Son of God. I've had an angel come and talk to me. When he focused on what he gained, suddenly he moves from dismay to comfort and joy. Is maybe that the principle for you that the Christmas story tells you? Focus on what you gain, not what you give up. Or maybe it's what happens in us is more important than what happens around us. It's very easy to think, if I can just control what goes on out here, in the government, in my church, in my family, in my body, in my business, I'll be okay. The Christmas story, when it ends, nothing has changed out there, has it? The same corrupt king is in control. The same Roman government's in control. Mary's still pregnant. He still lost his business. He still lost his reputation. Everything is still changed out there. What happens in us is more important than what happens around us. Have you maybe been focusing on trying to control things out here rather than controlling what happens in here? Amazing thing is that when Zechariah, Elizabeth, Joseph, Mary, the Magi, the shepherds, all of them focus on what was going on inside them rather than what was going on outside them, suddenly they were changed and they moved from dismay and adversity to joy. Or how about this point? Is this the point maybe God is speaking to you about? God is working even when we don't understand it. Now we look back and it's all pretty clear to us because we're 2,000 years later. We're reading the whole story. I guarantee you, Mary had no idea. She's a teenager. I'm pregnant. What is God doing? I'm going to have to tell my parents I'm pregnant. I'm going to have to tell my fiancé husband I'm pregnant. None of them understood what God was doing. Are you maybe filled with dismay right now because you've been focused on trying to understand everything? Nowhere in the Bible does God promise that He will answer our questions. Nowhere in the Bible does God always say that we will understand everything. My brain is only this big. Probably if I held it up to your heads, it's probably smaller than yours. God is that big. And I'm never going to understand how all these things work together. God is working even when we don't understand. I think this is the most powerful one for me. Hope comes. Hope comes in the Christmas story and at Christmas time when we believe God exists and we believe He's controlling the universe to save us. Nothing changed for Joseph, Mary, Zechariah, Elijah, Elizabeth, the shepherds, the Magi. Nothing changed out here. What changed inside them was when they began to believe God exists, God's real, and He's controlling all these things we don't understand how to save us. Where are you discouraged about your job or about some group or your health or a situation? Hope comes when we believe that God is real, God exists, and as Hebrews says, He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. Dismay comes when we think God doesn't exist. If it's going to be, it's up to me. And I got to control the universe to save me. There's a verse in the Bible, two verses that I think Christians don't believe. One is the one that Joseph said in Genesis 50:20. Joseph said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. You were angry with me. You lied about me to our dad. For decades you've kept that lie. You beat me up. You threw me in a hole in the ground. You sold me to slave traders. I've had to live in another country, learn another language, adjust. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." In the New Testament, Paul writes from a prison cell, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. I'm convinced we don't believe that as Christ followers. That says to me nothing that the DS, the district, my body, the government, a church, my kids, my finances, you fill in the list. Nothing that happens out there is out of control. What is it in your life that you're dismayed about? It does not surprise God. God doesn't go, "Oh my goodness, I didn't see that one coming." God instead has the incredible ability to allow us free will and then to cause all those things to work together. A woman who suddenly gets pregnant when she doesn't understand how or why. An older woman who gets pregnant suddenly when she thought she would never have this happen to her. A man who had plans to be a carpenter and run a construction business. God causes all those things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Where in your life are you seeing dismay creeping in? And you need to hear the Christmas message again, that there are tidings of comfort and joy. A while ago, I went through the kitchen, and it smelled terrible. I mean, it just stunk. And I took a picture of what my wife was making. I mean, it looked terrible. It was ground beef and eggs and all onions. And it smelled. I thought I was going to get sick. And then she mixed all those things together, put them in the oven, and out came meatloaf. Now, I don't know if you eat meatloaf or even know what it is. And it was wonderful. The Christmas story says, don't focus on the raw eggs of your life. Don't focus on the ground beef that stinks. But that God somehow is able to mix it all together and bring something good out of it. That's what Christmas is all about. And that's why we plant churches. Because the majority of the people in our national capital region do not have Christmas joy. 70% of the people in our area have no religion. They're not Christian. They're not Buddhist. They're not Muslim. They're not Hindu. Nothing. And they don't have Christmas joy. So we have Alan, who is planting a church trying to reach the Vietnamese. We've discovered there are 8,000 Vietnamese in Silver Spring. And so he works full-time Monday through Friday as a mechanic in Virginia. Drives up to Silver Spring on the weekend. And now he's starting to go back down to Virginia because he's starting a Bible study to start another church midweek because we've discovered there's 11,000 Vietnamese. Now, we're not giving him any money. We don't have any money to give him. So he works full time. Bruce works among the deaf. We've discovered the governor's office of Maryland says there's 1.2 million hard of hearing and deaf people in our area. And so Bruce is trying to plant a church among the deaf in Frederick. Frederick, because there's a deaf school there, a preschool through high school. So a lot of the deaf go around there. And also trying to do a work in Gallaudet University, which is the largest deaf university in the world in Washington, D.C. Yet we had to cut what we give him by 50% because we just didn't have enough money coming in. The average deaf church, by the way, is only 25 people. So we don't have any role models of how do we do this to reach people for Christ. David is ministering today, literally, right now, in the urban area of Baltimore. They do a ministry in the park. 2 weeks ago, my phone went off when the church planters was texting me. I always look at it this time of day because this is when I get the text from them. And 2 weeks ago, about 11:30 or so, David texts me. He says, a woman was just healed. She was blind, and we prayed for her in the park, and God gave her sight back, and she accepted Christ, too. They actually saw four people come to Christ that day, and then they go over to a hotel where they rent a room. And today is the first day they have a new sound system that some funds we were able to give them. But we had to cut all the funds which we were giving them because we just didn't have enough money, even though Baltimore has the highest crime rate of any city in the U.S. Eddie Raymond works with trying to reach Haitians down in Fredericksburg, Virginia. We had to cut what we give him by 50%. So he works as an accountant, bookkeeper in Washington, D.C. during the week and goes back and ministers to the church. They are in their second year. They have about 40 people coming. They rent an auditorium in a room in a school, and then they rent the cafeteria where they have lunch after worship service. In Dokachu, that was fun in the first service saying that and seeing how the interpreter was going to translate that. In Dokachu, pastors are Ethiopian church plant. You know why we have an Ethiopian church plant? Every day, over 240 people fly from Ethiopia to the National Capital Region to live. Every day. The only place on the planet that has more Ethiopians is the capital city of Ethiopia. Isn't that amazing? And so in his second year of ministry, he is targeting younger adults like yourself. He was director of Youth for Christ for the country. And they have over 200 Ethiopians coming. Yet we had to cut what we give them by 50%, even though most of their people are non-believers, new believers, immigrants. Hernando ministers to the forgotten Spanish immigrants, most of whom he meets during the week. He does translation work, legal work. They come for a while, come to Christ, and then they go to another part of the country or flee the area. There's so many people in our area that need tidings of comfort and joy. They will only get it if we tell them about Jesus. And so if you want to know more about that, you can email me, and I will be glad to put you on our prayer letter list to give you updates so you can know how to pray. If you want to give, very honestly, we just don't have enough money. But we figured out if every person who's in one of our 55 District Alliance churches gave just $1, just $1 a week, we would have enough to pay them. If they gave $1.27, we'd have enough to go a little more. If they gave $2 a week, we'd have a couple hundred thousand extra, and we could plant a new church in Washington, D.C., or among the military, or in Baltimore, or in Norfolk. That's the price of a Happy Meal. That's the price of one coffee at Starbucks a month. And so if you want to do that, some people give through their local churches. Some people like to give directly. They just go to cmamad.org, and there's a little button where it says give. Some download the free Tithely app and give from their phone. There's so many people that have no idea what Christmas is all about. They've tried Santa and Rudolph. They've tried family and festivities and love and Hallmark Channel movies. And they're filled with dismay because they don't know that Christmas begins with adversity, the hope that God is real. He became a human being in Jesus, and he came into this world, and he's controlling things to save us. And it doesn't matter what happens out there. It's what happens in here that makes all the difference. So this Christmas, just remember, you're in adversity. Christmas begins with adversity. It ends with hope. Actually, I was sitting there while Pastor Stephen was talking. I thought you could substitute any time in the Bible. You could say Easter begins with adversity, but ends with hope. The Exodus begins with adversity, but ends with hope. The world begins with adversity, but ends with hope. Don't focus on what's happening out there or in here or in any part of your life, but realize that God is real. He became a human being, and Jesus is working to save you. And sometimes, temporarily, we go through times of adversity. But God is always working in it. And that's why, as Christians, we can say, God, rest you merry, gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on this Christmas day. God bless you.